Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in the field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." This is our text. A sower went out to sow. We heard about that last Sunday. Seed scattered everywhere. Everywhere. Some even falling on good soil. Some even producing a good crop. As I said last Sunday, there will be a harvest and it will be glorious. The fields are ripe now. That's what Jesus says. But it's not yet the final harvest. It's not yet time to gather the wheat into the eternal barns. Not yet time to pull up the weeds for good. Not yet time for those weeds to be tossed on the unquenchable burn pile. You see, in the kingdom of heaven, timing is everything. God's timing, not yours, not mine, but his. His good and gracious timing. Why does God wait? Why does he allow the weeds to grow among the wheat? Why does he let evil and sin sprout up and grow for a time? That's what today's parable is about. God is merciful with the weeds for our sake, so that none of the good plants would be lost. So, dear Christian, this parable encourages us to be patient now and to trust in the end. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared also. And it's obvious at this point what should happen next, isn't it? What else do you do with weeds but pull them up, right? If quackgrass sprouts next to the bean plants, that's exactly what you do. You pull it up, you grab a spade, and you dig it out. So the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where did the weeds come from?" And he said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them? Should we go pull them up, do the weeding right now?" And he said, "No. No? The kingdom of heaven isn't like that. Not now. Not yet." "No," he said, "don't pull the weeds, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat also. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I'll send the reapers, telling them, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns.'" Seems like a puzzling response. Like the servants, the master recognizes the evil of the enemy. He sees exactly what the servants see, and he doesn't want weeds in his field any more than they do. But the master also knows that until the end of the world, there will always be a mixture of good and bad, of believers and unbelievers. And he knows that trying to root out the bad seed now may damage the growth of the kingdom in the end. So he is merciful. He spares the weeds now. We have a hard time with this. It's difficult for us to leave the weeds in the field. We are way too eager to uproot evil in others. We're way too ready to pull out the spade and dig out the soil. How often have we made our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and our lips the judges of our neighbors? It might even be worth asking it this way: who are you ready to call bad seed and uproot? Who would you toss out of the kingdom and onto the burn pile if you had your way? And who might uproot you if given the chance? because no doubt we've done plenty to deserve it. But no, Jesus says, no, says the master of the house, put your spade away, put your clippers down. Jesus hasn't given you permission to do the weeding in his field. It's not your job. He's not asking you for you to mark the weeds or point them out. He doesn't need your help with it. He sees perfectly well. He sees perfectly clearly what is happening. Beware of judging the motives of others based on appearances. Be on guard against condemning fellow believers. Leave the field in God's good and careful hands. Leave him to sow and leave him to tend and leave him to harvest. Let both the weeds and the wheat grow together until the harvest, Jesus says. God is patient. Don't be in such a hurry. Don't act too quickly. Don't act too recklessly or too strongly, because you're likely to pull out the wheat along with the weeds. But patience isn't only something Jesus commands us to have. Patience is a gift that he gives. Patience comes from Jesus. It's his gift. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's something we receive from God's word. When we get too anxious about the weeds in the field, the best thing for us to do is simply to pick up the scriptures, to read about the mercy and loving kindness of God, and let that patience have its way with us. Here, Jesus says, take some of my patience, have some of my long-suffering, have some of my kindness and my forbearance. Don't you know that the kindness of God is meant to lead you to repentance? Do you see how long God has been patient with you? Can you count the number of times you've deserved to be uprooted and thrown out, instead for Jesus to be numbered with your sin and you to be counted with his righteousness? Now, we ought to be clear that patience is not the same thing as tolerance. The world would encourage us to tolerance, which is really to embrace or say that everything that happens is fine and okay. Basically, tolerance would say that the weeds and the wheat are no different, and it doesn't matter which one you are. You see, Jesus isn't saying that we should ignore evil or make peace with it. He isn't saying that it's only God's to deal with in the end, on the last day, and not something for us to take seriously now. We might be tempted to think, since good and evil will exist together until the end, why even bother calling out evil in this world? We'll just let God take care of it on the last day. That attitude would put a muzzle on God's law. That attitude would close much of the scriptures. It would allow sin to run rampant and evil to grow. That's not the way that Jesus commends to us. Jesus is utterly patient, but he isn't permissive. As an example, consider the woman caught in adultery. When the Pharisees and the scribes were ready to stone that woman, Jesus stopped them. He would not let her be pulled up. He would not let her be thrown out and burned. But he also said to that woman, neither do I condemn you. Go now, and from now on, sin no more. You see, his patience kept her from being uprooted, but his love didn't leave her in her sin. This is the way of Jesus. We must say what God says, including his law, and we must hear that law for ourselves, directed at our own lives. What he calls evil and sin, we also must call evil and sin, even if the world calls it good, even when we find it in ourselves. But it's not for us to make the final judgment. It's not for us to weigh souls in the balance and cast out the ones found wanting. Leave that to God. Leave that to his reapers at the final harvest. And as you wait for that final harvest to come, trust that in the end, God will render righteous judgment over all things. This is how Jesus explains the parable to his disciples. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Patience now, and trust in the end. Evil and sin will not last forever, not in the world and not in us. Jesus promises to handle the field appropriately. He promises to gather the wheat in the end, and he promises that the weeds will be burned. And as we wait, he invites us to trust his crucified hands, to be merciful and to be just, and to leave the judgment with him. But it's so tempting, isn't it, to want God's judgment now? Why wait until the end, we say? Since the kingdom of God is certain, let's give evil people what they've got coming, and let's fix this world once and for all. But that way leads to silencing the gospel. That way would take Christ off the cross for sinners. It would mean the end of forgiveness and of mercy and of grace. The good news of Jesus' death for sinners is something we need just as much as anybody else. Unless you and I are willing to stake the outcome of the final judgment on what we've done, on our lives and our works, then we must live from his mercy as well. And so we do. We gather here not to pat ourselves on the back. We gather here not to proclaim how great or how wonderful we are. We gather here in this place today to entrust ourselves to him. And so we must trust him also with the world. Indeed, we already know what the judgment is, because the final judgment has been declared on Christ's cross. There, the judgment on your sin was rendered, and you were declared not guilty, innocent. Undeservedly innocent by virtue of Christ's death for us, because he suffered God's wrath for us, because he was uprooted and pulled out and tossed onto the burn pile for your sin and mine, and for all the evil that we've thought and done and said. In the face of coming judgment, Jesus comes today with mercy. He brings his mercy from the cross to you. And in Jesus' name, he forgives your sins, just as in the church, Jesus forgives those who repent and baptizes them and welcomes them into his kingdom. Though we live in the midst of evil in the world now, in the end, we will live in the mercies of God eternally. Yes, the final judgment is coming, but don't be afraid. We wait patiently for our Lord, who is merciful with us. We trust him. He plants and he replants with the seed of his word. So do not lose hope in this weedy world. God is merciful, but he will have his harvest too. Christ is risen and your hope is secure. And he has given his spirit to you now to help you as you wait, as God does his patient and merciful work for you and for all. There will be a harvest, dear Christian, and that harvest will be glorious. And the weeds will be gathered and thrown on the fire, but the wheat will be gathered into his barns. And then, Jesus says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The righteous will shine like the sun in that eternal kingdom of mercy. The righteous will shine, reflecting the mercy and loving kindness and patience of our God. Until then, be patient and trust and look to Christ. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding Guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.